Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Lottery's foray into sports gambling has not been a clean and easy path. It's been bumpy. It's been choppy. It was delayed. The enterprise lost money in the first fiscal year. The rollout was slow. There's no ability to bet on college games. But a lot of us have sort of stepped back and gone, okay, let's give them a chance. There's been a pandemic recently. Though there was a story on social media that caught my eye. Jack Andrews, who happens to be an advocate who focuses on gambling, the American Bettors Coalition, you can go to that website and check it out. Jack Andrews called my attention to a story that involves the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, and essentially a bettor who was trying to place a wager on a NASCAR event attempted to go in and place the wager. And of course, as he went to click the button to place the wager, the odds changed, not in his favor. Now, he was given the option to back out of the wager or to accept it. But the problem is, all right, we all understand changing odds. But the problem that he saw and others upset or maybe has eroded the trust here is that the line remained the same for other bettors. Jack Andrews is joining us. Jack, how big of an incident is this?
Hey, John, great to be here with you. This is kind of unprecedented because we've seen this with other sports books around the country and around the world. Everyone's familiar with sports betting pretty much. And we've seen it where, you know, a bettor might make a bet and they move the line right away. Or sometimes we've seen it where a bettor tries to make a bet and the line moves before they can accept it. But in this case, it looked like the Oregon Lottery was moving the line just against this bettor. In fact, he had told me that he had tried this with other games, other matches, other sports, and it kept occurring. He had been on a little bit of a hot streak on their site, and it seems to counteract his winning. They were doing this. They were, like, bumping up the juice against him on every wager that he would attempt to make.
That's incredibly frustrating. It erodes trust. And I think to compound matters, the Oregon Lottery Twitter account sort of came out with a tweet trying to explain it and said that the bet required manual approval and the time that it took to change that, the line changed. But you're right, it appears that the line only changed for this individual bettor. I don't want to bang on the Oregon Lottery, but it's going to be tricky here because there is a matter of trust. As you look around the country, Jack, and you look around the world when it comes to gaming, how important is it that the entity needs to be trusted?
Well, you know, that's one of the tenets of legalized, regulated sports betting, right? Because we all know what the sports betting industry kind of used to be when it was underground. You're working with a bookie or a local guy or an offshore website. That matter of trust wasn't there. You know, you could try to have it, but it just wasn't there. So when we get legalized, regulated gambling like this with sports betting, that matter of trust is something that these companies have a huge control over the rest of the market. In other words, they have this innate sense of, oh, we can trust them because this is all regulated gambling. So if they do things like this where it erodes that trust factor, it really calls into question as to, you know, just how good is regulated gambling.
Jack Andrews with us, American Bettors Coalition. Jack, the Oregon Lottery getting into this business, it's been controversial in this state. They're working with a third-party vendor, SB Tech. There's some litigation going on. The Oregonians trying to get a hold of records. SB Tech doesn't want to give them up. What are we looking at? Because I think you have a better sense of what's going on with the lottery and its third-party vendor.
Right. So the terms of the deal that SB Tech struck with the Oregon Lottery were not disclosed. And some journalists decided, you know, we want to know what's going on here. They filed some Freedom of Information Act petitions against it to see if they could get it released. It was released by a judge. But before that happened, SB Tech decided to just sue everybody. They sued the Oregon Lottery. They sued the lottery director. They sued everyone to try to make it so that this information didn't come out. They felt that this is kind of competitive advantage information as to how much they're being paid for all of this. But in fact, you know, when it's a public utility almost, the lottery system, the public has a right to know what those numbers are. And what came out was the Oregon Lottery is paying a lot of money to SB Tech and other vendors, not just SB Tech, so much so that pretty much 51 cents of every dollar that comes in just in terms of gross revenue goes to pay off all these other vendors and overhead. And sports betting is not a high-margin industry. So in other words, like, these companies kind of work on low margin, you know. Sports bettors know this. You win one, you lose one. It's only a matter of 10 cents a vig. So as a result, they, you know, this low margin industry, there's not a whole lot of extra money to go around, and it's being eaten up by these costs.
What's the best way if the state of Oregon turned to you, Jack, because you follow this stuff, and said, all right, what's the best way for us to proceed? We'd like to get some revenue from legalized wagering. Is an entity like the lottery necessarily the best entity to be running something like this?
Well, John, what we've seen in other states is that the lottery isn't the best entity to be regulating these things or to be running it. And the problem is because you need a competitive environment in order to drive innovation in the industry. And Oregon doesn't have much competition. You have some tribal casinos that have sports wagering, but they can't offer a mobile product. The Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app is your only mobile product there in Oregon. And as a result, there's not a lot of innovation going on in sports betting. There's not a lot of competition when it comes to keeping the prices competitive. And that hurts the consumer in the end, because in the end, the consumer needs choices. They need the ability to kind of vote with their dollar as to, you know, which operator they want to go with. So I would advise Oregon, if they could, to try to open this up to a little more competition. Unfortunately, they are locked into some contracts for at least about 2 to 4 years.
We're talking to Jack Andrews, American Bettors Coalition. There have been a lot of issues, a lot of criticism of the sports wagering propositions in Oregon. College games, for example, not among the offerings. Is that unusual? As you look around the country, is Oregon the only one not doing that?
It is unusual. I live in New Jersey, and New Jersey, when they tried to, you know, they had this long fight to get to legalize sports betting. So it all started in 2011 when they put a ballot referendum out to the voters. And they figured it was going to be a tough sell. So they threw in this line saying you couldn't gamble on New Jersey colleges. You could gamble on college sports, just not New Jersey colleges. Looking back, they wish they wouldn't have done that because the referendum passed with a huge majority. And I think some other states have kind of followed suit with this. You can't gamble on the local schools. You know, an integrity monitoring type of thing. But Oregon took it to a different level. They say no college wagering whatsoever. And in a state like Oregon with very few pro sports teams, colleges are a big business. So that really hamstrings the entire industry right there.
Jack Andrews with us, American Bettors Coalition. The Oregon Lottery did get back to me. They said that the size of this individual's wager pushed the bet into manual review. They returned the bet, you know, with not as good odds. The bettor, of course, didn't accept the new line. But that doesn't quite wash with what our eyes see on that video, because shouldn't the entire line move at that point? Or do you see the lottery's logic?
Well, no. You know, the line should be the line for everyone that wants to bet it, regardless of who the bettor is. So if they want to move that line to minus 150, which is a pretty much egregious move from minus 110 to minus 150. But if they want to move that line, they have the right, but that should be the line for everyone else going in to bet it. The trouble is it was just for this guy. And so it's not so much a manual approval as it is it's a manual line move to discourage this guy from wanting to bet there. And, you know, that's the only game in town. So if this guy's not betting with the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app, he's betting offshore or illegally. And, you know, that's unfortunate that, you know, he's basically out of a place to wager now.
Is there something that, you know, is there a regulator in the industry that should be looking into this? Is there some commission that comes in? What happens in a case like this?
Well, you know, since gambling is a state-by-state issue, it's up to the state to regulate the industry. So it would be up to Oregon's regulatory committees to decide. The trouble is when you have the lottery running something and that is already a state agency, it kind of, you know, confuses things. Where are the lines drawn? It's tough. There's probably going to be some push towards some federal regulation when it comes to sports wagering. But the current state of what our country's in, it's not a high priority. We've got elections coming up. I really don't see that kind of moving to the forefront of the discussion until 2023, probably.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I have found, and Jack, you probably, this is the world you live in, I have found that there are, you know, multiple groups or factions, lobbyists, and I'm not, you know, everybody's got a different agenda. Some people just, they don't want, they want the money earmarked for something else. Some others want gambling shut down altogether, and they're just sort of, you know, chipping away at the sports gaming thing because they want it all to go away. And I keep looking at it going, gosh, is a government agency necessarily the right agency to run this? Like, maybe this should be just something that the state of Oregon is earning a tax on or getting a piece of the action, and maybe they should have no oversight of it. If I put you in charge in the state of Oregon, Jack, what are we doing with this?
Well, so the first thing I would want to do is I'd want to bring some more competition into the state. We need to kind of take it out of the hands of a monopolistic type of pricing model and put it into a capitalistic way so that people are seeing competitive pricing to drive innovation within the industry. But the other thing we need to do is we need to make sure that all bettors have a fair shake. And, you know, sure, there are bettors that are dangerous because they can win. They can beat sports betting. And that doesn't mean they have to have free rein, though. They just have to be given a fair shake. And when you move a line that drastically, that's not so much a fair shake. And since he has no other recourse of anywhere else to bet within the state, it's a pretty drastic measure to kind of pick and choose who your customers are.
Are we picking on the Oregon Lottery here? Because I know I don't want to pick on them, but there needs to be accountability here. If they're moving the line for one bettor, I would hate to go in and go, hey, I want to place a wager on a NASCAR driver, and them go, well, this guy really likes the driver. Let's worsen his odds. He'll probably make the bet anyway. I would hate to nobody would want to do business like that.
You know, John, that's a good point. It's not actually all the Oregon Lottery's fault here. Their vendor, SB Tech, is actually the one that handles the risk management. It's SB Tech that moved the line. It's SB Tech that decided that this bettor was too good for them, and they didn't want to encourage his betting. The Oregon Lottery, though, is probably the party that's most culpable because they're the front end of this, well, as SB Tech is the back end. Now, SB Tech is a company that was just recently merged with DraftKings, and I'm sure your audience is familiar with DraftKings. So this is something that DraftKings needs to start to address. They're now a public company. They need to kind of be cognizant of some of the methods that their acquired company does in managing risk, and they need to address it.
I appreciate your time, Jack Andrews. I'm going to continue to try to get some answers from the lottery. One of the questions I asked them was, can they give me some statistics on the number of times the line has moved in favor or against a bettor when it's modified? I'm sure they have that data.
Yeah, since this is a manual adjustment, I would tend to believe that they only move it when it's against the player and not in his favor. If it moved in his favor, they just would have given him that -110 that he had started with.
There's something wrong about that. I don't like it.
Yep.
All right, Jack Andrews, I appreciate you. This is good stuff. We'll continue to follow it. The American Bettors Coalition, you can find them online, and Jack Andrews is a really good follow on Twitter as well. If you're interested in following him and following this case, I assure you that Captain Jack Andrews on Twitter, at CapJack2000, is a good follow when it comes to sports gaming. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Our big splash is coming up. Joe Moorhead, the Oregon Ducks offensive coordinator, top of the hour. Our big splash, we do it every day on the show. This one shouldn't come as a surprise.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Harry Glickman, founding father of the Trailblazers. I would argue founding father of sports, big time sports, in the state of Oregon, passed away yesterday. 96 years old. A life well lived. I communicated with his son, Marshall Glickman. This was not coronavirus related. Harry Glickman was 96. Harry Glickman made no small plans. He brought an NBA franchise to Portland. The Buckaroos, professional boxing, NFL exhibition games. He was a promoter, he was a dreamer, and he was a legend. I offered earlier in the show that if we're putting up a Mount Rushmore in the state of Oregon, you can suggest Bill Shonley, you can suggest Damian Lillard or Bill Walton or Clyde Drexler. I argue that the mountain himself was Harry Glickman. That is our big splash. How big of a problem is the Oregon Lottery's trust issue? I'm working on a piece right now that I will post during this show. I'm kind of working on it during the commercial breaks about sports gambling in our state. Now, the lottery is under fire this week. The video posted on social media showed a bettor's attempt to wager on a NASCAR event. While attempting to confirm the bet on an individual driver at minus 110 odds, and for people who don't understand, minus 110 means that you wager $110 to win $100. That's an easy way to explain it. The wager was then instead offered with modified odds, minus 150, meaning you had to bet 150 now to get 100. So the bettor videotaped the transaction that he was trying to do on his phone, backed out of the bet because the odds were now unfavorable, but noticed that the line was still listed at minus 110 for other bettors who would come in. It had not apparently changed for anyone else who wanted to bet. How big of a problem is this? I would argue it's a huge problem because the lottery's Twitter account offered an explanation. It said that the bet required manual approval. During the time that took, the lines changed. We reach out to the customer. It's been resolved. Except the customer on social media says the lottery never contacted him. That makes it worse. It erodes trust. I reached out to the lottery. I did get a reaction and a comment from them. They said that the bettor attempted to bet on a driver. The size of the wager pushed it into manual review. That's fine. Because the wager was over the limit, the lottery returned an offer of minus 150. The bettor did not accept the new line. The big issue here was our initial response on Twitter came from the lottery. In their haste to provide information quickly, they said they got the info wrong. The lottery had not connected with the player, just attempted to, and the line didn't just happen to shift. The traders reviewed the over-the-max bet and offered to take it at minus 150. For customer service reasons, we were willing to honor the original odds. We left a number of voicemails attempting to contact the player. As of this morning, they have not connected. The lottery reminds you they're not obligated to take all wagers. I don't like this one bit. It feels to me like they're picking and choosing the wagers. And they went, all right, this guy wants to make the bet. We're going to give him crummy odds if he still wants to take it. Great. I bet a lot of people still bet it. This is not good for the lottery. I'll have a piece that sort of outlines all of this. It'll post on Oregon Live momentarily. But I've got a response from the Oregon Lottery on why it happened, how it happened. But the big question remains, can the system be trusted? And was it the work of the Oregon Lottery or its controversial vendor, SB Tech? There's a lot... a lot here. Judah Newby, as you hear that, how interested are you in this?
Well, I'm certainly interested. I'm not totally surprised by everything that's been going on. You mentioned it's been bumpy. It has not been smooth. That doesn't surprise me. You know, this is Oregon's first effort to try to, you know, regulate and execute legalized sports gambling. Of course it's going to be bumpy. I'm not surprised at all by this. But you made a good point. It's not the Oregon Lottery's autonomous fault. SB Tech is to blame partially, but I am very wary of placing a bet through an app where I know there is a manual review process that is questionable. I don't want to do that if I can help it.
Yeah, the big issue was their initial response on Twitter. But the bigger issue is, can you trust the lottery?
Right.
Like right now, can we trust the lottery? Joe Moorhead's coming up, the Oregon Ducks offensive coordinator. He's going to be joining us top of the hour. I want you to be here for that. Tell friends, in tomorrow's show, Oregon State offensive coordinator Brian Lindgren. We've got both the offensive coordinators on this show. Next week, Andy Avalos coming on the show and Tim Tibisar. We're going to get the defensive coordinators on the show next week. See? See what I'm doing there? All right. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network. You may not be able to count on a NASCAR line being what it should be on the Sports Lottery app, but you can count on this radio show. We're going to be here for you. We're going to do an entertaining
show. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.